What's up, everybody? You know what happens on Mondays, then now you get something from the archives. Enjoy this week's inspiring motivational interview, and we will catch you later on in the week as we start to share with you some of the best tools and tactics, everything having to do with sales. Let's go. Hey Sharks, welcome to Elevation Nation. I am here today with somebody that honestly, like, I've fangirled out on for a while and kind of social media stalked her. And anyways, her name is Crystal Washington, and she is the absolute foremost expert on social media. She's a keynote speaker endorsed by several bureaus. She travels around the country teaching corporations and the employees of those corporations how to improve their productivity and profitability. So, Crystal, welcome to Elevation Nation. We are so excited that you are here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. I totally fangirled out on you. And so it's kind of a surreal moment for you to accept this and to be on this show. Why don't you tell the Sharks listening, because they may not be as familiar with you as I am, a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a technology strategist and a futurist, and most of my time, I spend my time like traveling around the world, just helping people leverage technology for profits and productivity. That's a big way of saying that I'm someone that loves people, and I'm good at explaining technology in the most simple terms, and I believe that technology can make us more human. And so that's my unofficial way of saying that my teaching technology really is just attached to my love of people.
Ooh, I love that. I just went to Hawaii for 14 days, and I did a ton of studies, a ton of like breakthroughs, you know, in the personal development space. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to find my own breakthroughs. And I've been telling myself for years, I'm an introvert, which is the funniest thing for anybody who's met me, but I'm actually ridiculously extroverted. Mm-hmm. But I've like hid behind this thing, oh, if I'm an introvert. And just hearing you even say, you know, I love people, I'm nodding my head because it's like, I love people too. And I think that's probably why we both do the work we're in. So tell me a little bit about how often you're on the road, how often you're traveling. What's a life like for you?
Oh, well, it's pretty exciting. I average between probably 50, 60 events per year. I take over 100 business flights a year. And on top of those over 100 business flights per year, I also have a little bit of a travel addiction, Kaylin. So I usually, on my own time, go to anywhere between 5 to 9 countries for non-speaking purposes, just because I'm nuts on top of everything else. So that's not even including the international speaking engagements.
Well, the nuts people are always the best people. So let's talk a little bit deeper, though. I mean, you're traveling, you're speaking, you're helping. But like, why do you do it? When you strip it all away, why?
So I've always been a helper ever since I was a little girl. And I think people sense that in me. I was that child that people told too much information to. So like the 5-year-old that people would tell their deep, dark secrets to. And meanwhile, I'm like, well, you know, trying to make them feel better. And then afterwards, I'm like, can I have a popsicle? You know, like literally, that's been my life from day one. I was an adult child. And so I think this need to help people, I see there's a lot of people, Kaylin, that people just want to feel okay. And that, I feel like that's the question everyone's constantly asking. Am I okay? Am I going to be okay? And all of our stress, all of our wars, all of our issues are around this fear of not being okay. And so I'm doing the piece that I know how to do and helping people feel okay, whether that's at work or at home. And I know technology, when used correctly, I mean, we can actually use it in ways that harm us, obviously, but it can allow us to be more human. We can reach out to people more. We can help people more. We can get things done faster so that we have more time to rest and recharge.
I love that. And, you know, you're exactly right. That's a lot of what I've been studying in the past couple of months as I've deepened my background is this concept of we're all going to be okay. It is all okay. And as I look into my past, I see a lot of times where I personally didn't think it would be okay. Mm-hmm. What about you? Can you tell me about one of those times?
Oh, man, I've had a bunch of those times. I'm trying to think about which week. I was a kid that had depression. I mean, there's so many pieces to this one. But mm-hmm. I think a time that maybe some people listening might be able to identify with is that I am a millennial. I wasn't a millennial. I am a millennial. But I remember working for corporate America, Kaylin, and I was making good money. And I was over a department of people old enough to be my parents and grandparents' age. And I remember going to my boss, and there's this little thing called social media that was new on the horizon. So this was, I mean, you know, this is before many of our popular social networks were even created. But I remember going to my boss, an older man, and saying, hey, this social media thing, I have a feeling this is going to be big. And this is like still MySpace days. I said, I have a feeling it's going to be big. And one day companies were going to use this. And think about this, a brand like Coca-Cola can have a conversation with their customers. And now, of course, now we're all like, duh. But at the time, like that wasn't a thing. Right? And so my boss looked at me and he said, look, kid, he said, you're cute and you make us a bleep load of money. Stick to what you know. And I said, oh, okay. And so 6 months later, I quit my job to start my own digital marketing firm. That was my first business that ended up launching my speaking business later. But here's where this gets interesting. When I quit that job, it was October 15th, 2007. Okay. So October 15, 2007, the last recession hit in December of 2007. So I actually had to grow a business during a recession. And I did, you know, thankfully. But I know what it's like to have to scale back and to be used to certain lifestyle. Because in corporate America, like I said, I was living large in my early 20s. I know what it's like to scale back and have to pull up your bootstraps and just make it work. And I grew something beautiful from it. And I think what was helpful to me and what might be helpful to maybe some people listening is that if you don't focus on the challenge, but you just focus on the fact that you're going to depend on you to do whatever's necessary to get it done, it allowed me to do it without being under nearly as much stress as one would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. Was there a specific moment where, so I remember the Tom, I remember the MySpace. I always wonder whatever. Do you know, you're the expert. Do you ever know what happened to Tom, by the way?
No, I mean, he popped up on Facebook for a minute. He had a profile and like, he pops up in random places. But no, I think he went off somewhere. Like I know he was vacationing around the world. He was doing well with life. Tom just went off. I don't know.
His Tom thing. Okay.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom, if you're a fan of the show, please reach out. We're dying to know.
What happened to Tom?
Oh my goodness. This is the best interview. Okay. So take me back. You were making a buttload of money in your 20s, mm-hmm. which by the way, same boat. I was working for a corporation doing recruiting, corner office, bought a house at 22 with cash, like rolling.
Ooh.
And then, yeah. And then shit just disappeared overnight. My health roared up. I wound up living on Social Security disability in the hospital with about 30% lung function. And they were like, you know, it's over for you. You've only got a couple years left. And I remember that moment. And for some reason, I allow myself, I always have this rule, like you're allowed to have a pity party, but you're only allowed to have a pity party for so long. So set a dang timer on when you're going to have your pity party. And then when it's over, mm-hmm. it's over. Focus. Mm-hmm. And I remembered having mine, and I did this 6-week road trip to say goodbye to everybody that I could. Mm-hmm. And after that, it was like, all right, I'm going to double down. And I chose what it was that I wanted to focus on and who I wanted to be and the lessons I wanted to learn. So I remember that moment so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Can you bring us back into that moment when you started to lose it, whether that was the business or the career path you had, and it just like it felt a little hopeless and what you did in that moment?
Yes. I actually remember this exact moment. So I was still working for corporate America. And what you have to understand is outside of that conversation with my boss, I was working in a very hostile environment. I mean, you're talking about sexual harassment, racial harassment. I had emails of all this stuff. Okay. So it was literally from people's own words. And I remember getting up for work one day and getting myself together. And mind you, I actually loved my job. I loved what I did. I loved my employees. It was just a very toxic atmosphere that was ridiculous. And so as I'm getting myself together, I'm putting on makeup and I'm mad because I'm just getting up, going to work and I'm mad. And Kaylin, I look in the mirror and I had a revelation. And that revelation was this: why are you mad? These people aren't showing up to your house every day. You're putting on makeup to go and go drive to your abusers every single day. You know, and what hit me was, it was like, you know, that would be almost as ridiculous. And I'm going to say, excuse me for how I'm going to phrase this, because I've had this conversation before, and this is really what I was thinking in my mind. Okay.
I love it already.
You say what now?
I said, I love it already. Go on.
Okay. Because this is my exact thought process. It was like, you know, that's like knowing that there's a rapist on the corner and putting on makeup every day and walking up to the rapist. Like literally knowing what you're signing up for. And so what happened was, in that moment, Kaylin, I realized, Crystal, you're responsible for this. The abuse that you're enduring right now, it's not victim blaming, but until you make a different decision, you are signing yourself up for this every single day. And so that was the day where something in me fell away. The thing in me that allowed me to make excuses, the thing in me that allowed me to believe that a boogeyman was trying to get me or was setting me up for fail. And that was the day where I accepted 100% responsibility for my reactions to every single thing in my life. And yeah. So that conversation with my boss happened like probably within weeks after that. So that's why my reaction was what it was to quit. Cause it was like, you know what? Nope. This is on you, Crystal.
Mm-hmm. And it's so, I love that, because so it's all a choice. It always will be a choice. They have this entire concept of, you know, are you at cause or are you at effect? And when you're at the place of effect, it's where your excuses come from. It's where you have to back up the story, you know, and when you tell yourself the story for the first time, then every time you tell yourself that story after that becomes how you're justifying the original thing that you had decided. And so it just sounds like to me, you had this moment of clarity where you were like, you know what? I'm choosing this particular struggle because it has a bigger purpose. And I say in my Elevate programs, you know, pick your problem. There's this whole thing, and you're going to love this. And if you don't, just pretend you do. But so I always say, you can't be broke and ugly. Like, pick a struggle.
Oh, no.
And I know, we're going there. You started it. And I use that because that's something we can all relate to. And mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, we're not making the money. Oh, we're not pretty enough, especially as females. Well, maybe not you, but I personally look in the mirror, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm just not as pretty as the other women. You know, we all have that. Yeah. And so it's like, you know what? You got to pick your struggle. You can't be broke and ugly, you know, like own your power. And that's the power you want to pick. So as business owners, you know, we go out there and we have these things that we're trying to deal with. And maybe, you know, all of our speaking events are postponed, or, you know, we don't have as many clients as we want to, but you know what? That's the struggle of picking the industry that we've picked. And these are the things that just come with it. And then it decides which part of that struggle do we give the power to? And that's what I just love about your story, is that moment where you decided, yeah, this is my struggle. I'm going to go see my abusers, but I'm going to put on lipstick because that's the part I can control, because there's a bigger meaning here. Good for you. Good for you. Do you ever share that story often from stage?
On the stage, I've probably only done it about 3 times because it doesn't really plug into my program so much in terms of what I talk about. There have been times where people, you know, one of my best clients actually, who asked me, hey, can you tell your story of entrepreneurship to all of our leaders? And I was like, wait, that's insane. You want me to tell them about how I quit my job? Like, And they said, yes, absolutely, because they're going to relate this to entrepreneurship, and we treat our people so well, they're not going to want to leave. But if someone does, we want to, you know, we want to encourage them on their journey. And I was like, okay. And so, you know, in that case, again, it was just, you know, it wasn't so much about me continuing to work for a bigger purpose. It was the fact that, you know, I was literally dressing up to get abused. And so when you realize this is insane, I'm the abuser, you know, that's when you can shift your thinking, because, you know, who's abusing you when you keep going to get abused? Is it actually mm-hmm. the abuser? And again, I'm not victim blaming anybody. I'm talking about my own situation. If I know what's coming and I keep going to it, well, now I'm kind of the abuser because I believe I deserve this.
Yeah. And it's a tough line to walk, because I just listened to Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell on the flight mm-hmm. back from Hawaii last night. And yeah, they went to Alaska Airlines. I love you. I'm an MVP or MLP, whatever. and y'all need seatback entertainment. And then they banned food on the flight too because of COVID. So I'm like, there's no food or entertainment. Like crisis, right? Anyway, so there's this part of the story about Brock Turner and, mm-hmm. you know, that whole situation, and it reared its ugly head, and it comes down to like, how well do we know the strangers and how congruent are they in their body language? And is there even energy in congruency? And it was just it's so timely. I always say there's no coincidences because now you and I are having a very, very similar conversation based off of, I would not have been in the same mindset if I hadn't listened to that yesterday. What can you tell the shark listening who's looking in the mirror right now, getting ready to put on their makeup, knowing that they're going somewhere toxic, maybe it's work, maybe they're just living in their own home right now and their family's not supportive or toxic. What do you tell that person?
Figure out your exit strategy, whatever that needs to look like. You know, we cannot control what anyone else on this planet does, but we can control what we do in our reactions. And what I have learned is that our reactions can cause people to treat us differently. And so, you know, it's kind of, this goes hand in hand with the concept of negotiations. I'm a power negotiator. I come out of sales. So I'm a really good negotiator. But I say that in the sense that I'm good at getting good deals, but everyone feels like they won. So that's for me. I don't think negotiations should feel like you're like, oh, I got them good. And the other person's like, dagnabbit, right? Like everyone needs to be feeling good. And in negotiations, you have absolutely no power. No power. I need everyone to hear this. If before you go into negotiations, if there's not a bar at which if it drops to that level, you'll walk away. And that's the problem. Most
Give
of
me
us-
an example. I'm lost.
Okay. So let's say that you're negotiating with your boss for, or someone you're looking to work with for a certain salary, right? And let's say you want 80 carrots, okay? 80 or 80 asparagus, okay? You want 80 asparagus. You know, hey, I'm not going to take this job at 60 asparagus. I'm worth more than that. So if you go in there and he starts off at 30 asparagus when you're looking for 80 and he works it up to 35, you need to know in your mind you're going to walk away. But most people don't have that mentality. And the same thing works in relationships as well. Most people don't have a bottom out. They, you know, they believe that love is unconditional. Like, let's talk about like romantic relationships. And there's no bottom out. No matter what, we're supposed to work this out. And as long as you don't set a standard, someone that has issues will drag you as low as they can possibly drag you. But as long as you have a walk away point, that's where your power lies. And so I think that's a major point. So if you're dealing with toxicity in a workplace, with employees, with friends, with family members, set a standard and figure out your escape plan. And if they're not willing to hit that standard, and this isn't, you know, this isn't asking for too much, but maybe the standard is you can't use drugs, or the standard is you can't keep wasting my money, or whatever it looks like, right? Be willing to walk away. Because when people know you're willing to walk away, people's behavior tends to get better.
Yeah, that's good. And what I'm hearing is boundaries. Know your boundaries, know your deal breakers. It's all, yeah. I mean, and I think that's interesting. So my dad, everyone knows the sharks listening. He's a very quirky man, very, very strong, huge sales presence, right? Like he's the VP at Pitney Bowes. Now he's running post offices, like just brilliant salesman, international shipping for post offices, I should clarify. Okay. And he would always go into places. And if he saw something in the store that he wanted, you know, and money wasn't an issue for part of our childhood and then the others, it was a huge issue, but he would look at a price or he'd find what he wanted in the store. And then he'd say the price in his mind. And if it was not below the price he said in his mind, he did not buy it no matter what. And yeah, in case you're like, where is this story going? I got you, girl. And so on the back end of that, it always makes me think, you know, we can do that with like the price of something in a store. And yet when it comes to the price we are willing to pay with our lives to the people around us, we forget that component.
I agree. Yeah.
Well played. Mm-hmm. Well played. Well, this has been absolutely incredible. How can people learn more about you, or maybe if they can, you know, if they're quarantined right now, if they can get on YouTube, watch one of your speeches, where can they get more Crystal?
So any information they need about me, any resources they're interested in, all they have to do is go to Crystal, spelt like a rock crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, crystalwashington.com. That is the connection point for everything else. If they even have any questions for me, they can email me through there. So crystal@crystalwashington.com.
Perfect. All right. And I will put that in the show notes. This has been amazing. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Elevation Nation. And we are signing off today. Have a great day, Sharks.